the devil's advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday Happier Happy Hour. It rolls on. I got Dominic. I got Evan lightly screening your calls at 844-967-2789. Maybe a little funny is funny. We'll see. We'll see if you think I'm funny. I know I am. I feel quite confident in my own heart. I'm funny. If you don't get it, that's on you.
Hey, just because you think you're funny doesn't make you funny.
Do you see who came to your former backyard? Donald Trump in Michigan this weekend. And he said something I perceived as a little funny, Dominic.
What's that?
Well, he said, you know, had I lost the election, no one would have stepped forward sooner than me to admit I lost.
I'd have been the first person to tell you, right?
I'd be the first one to admit I lost.
Come on.
But I didn't lose, of course, was the point he eventually got to. So anyways, I thought that was kind of funny. Ironic, you know, just a little ironic. Do you ever see the Gridiron Dinner? The Gridiron Dinner happened this Saturday night as well. This is a big D.C. function. And Governor Chris Sununu, who is a Republican, who apparently did not want to run for the U.S. Senate, but had a few things to say. Here's what he said about Donald Trump, the aforementioned. You know, he's probably going to be the next president, Sununu said of Trump, musing about his experience, passion, sense of integrity, and the rationale he brought to his tweets. As the room quieted to see where he was going with this, he paused, then yelled, "Nah, I'm just kidding. He's effing crazy." The ballroom roared with laughter. "Are you kidding? Come on. You guys are buying that. I love it. He just stresses me out so much. I'm going to deny I ever said it."
It never happened.
And it didn't stop there, Dom. The press often, again, from Sununu, I quote from the Politico, "The press often will ask me if I think Donald Trump is crazy. And I'll just put it this way. I don't think he's so crazy that you put him in a mental institution. But I think if he were in one, he ain't getting out." A little bit more. Is there more here? There's a little bit more. Should I keep digging? Now, Sununu did talk about Jenny Thomas. Curious what he had to say. Do you want to know? Are you curious?
Yeah, let's hear it, man. He's laying it down for us. That's amusing.
On Virginia Thomas's now infamous text messages to Mark Meadows. "We know she may be extreme, but let's face it. When it comes to texting, she's no Anthony Weider."
Oh, damn.
"And you guys thought we forgot about that freak show. Little Carlos Danger, man." And Ted Cruz hanging out with the People's Convoy. Nobody really knows why convoy protesters in Washington in the first place, which pretty much describes Ted himself, right? What is with Ted? You see that beard? He looks like Mel Gibson after a DWI or something.
It's about right, man, for sure.
Oh, and a couple more here on Trump ally and MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. You know, I'm trying out Sununu's material on you, Dom. This guy's had his stuff with more crap than his pillows. And by the way, I was told not to say this, but I will. His stuff is crap. I mean, it's absolute crap. You only find that kind of stuff in a Trump hotel.
Nice.
Talking about the MyPillows. Oh, and one more. About the time Trump visited Sununu in New Hampshire, invited him to ride inside the presidential limo, the Beast. The then president suddenly stopped talking and pointed out the window at people lining the road, holding American flags saying, "They love me." Only problem, said Sununu, was the man he pointed to held a sign that read, "F Trump." "They love me. They love me."
Now, Kurt, you and I were at Trump's inauguration, and those streets were kind of bare. I mean, not for the Women's March afterwards, but the actual driving around and, you know, getting in the car and waving. I mean, they were empty bleacher stands lining the road.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, D.C. is an overwhelmingly Democratic city, right? And other than the supposed...
Well, it's the swamp, of course.
Well, other than those that showed up early, remember we got on the subway and we rode out to Trump's inauguration. And I get on the subway and somehow you missed the car. So I'm riding with some stranger wearing a MAGA hat. So I got to make a friend because Tom can't hop on the subway when the subway comes.
There's only so many people that can fit in. I'm not going to be the guy getting crushed in the door, man. It's okay. You were okay without me for 4 minutes.
Everybody in the place had their own seat, man. I had two rows of seats. So I'm talking to the, like, one of three other people on the entire subway car, which is the point I was making. Because I asked the guy, where are all the people? Where are all the people? MAGA hat wearing guy. The guy said to me, oh, they got here hours ago. And there's millions of them. So then we got to the, we got off at the place, you know, the Capitol building at the subway station. And we came out and there were rows and rows of toilets, right?
Rows and rows and rows of porta potties. Yes.
And how many people were standing in line?
Nobody.
Anyone that's ever been to Summerfest in Wisconsin, I mean, that is a dream come true. Nothing but rows and rows of fresh porta potties. That was the VIP section. We did have the good seats. Your buddy Ryan Johnson slipped us a couple. But, Dom, it was, it looked like a big crowd looking back, but I didn't have the benefit of aerial photographs in a comparison.
It's the biggest crowd of all time, just ask Spicer.
But when you talk about the crowds in the streets, how would you know we left early? It felt two raindrops, and we left like 10 minutes into Trump's speech.
Yeah, I had enough history for one day.
I mean, historically speaking, Dom, do you think we'll ever be back at another inauguration?
Sure, why not? Someone will give us some tickets, and we might even show up. But I would say, you know, Trump in
didn't
Michigan.
Didn't get to go to Biden's, but there was a pandemic going on or something.
Right. And you know, I was born in Livonia, Michigan, just outside of Detroit, and I have family there, and I love the great state of Michigan. I went to grad school in Rochester. And so I was a little disheartened when I saw some of the social media feeds over the weekend interviewing, you know, front row Joes and different folks that are, you know, there to go see Trump. And one lady in particular really caught my eye, and she had it all figured out. There's like 260,000 illegal votes, and Space Force has it all figured out, and they watermarked the ballots, and there's going to be a reckoning, and the indictments are rolling. Maybe it was 260,000 indictments are coming down, and she was just very convinced of all of these things. And it just boggles my mind. I mean, so where are you getting this from?
Fox News, Rupert Murdoch.
Not
world's
even.
World's most dangerous man.
Not even. I've not seen any reporting on Fox News saying there's 260,000 indictments ready to roll
out. When's the last time you watched Tucker?
You know, I try to tune in every once in a while to see what's happening. But these are the ones, and these are being interviewed by other right-wing, you know, Fox News wannabe types, right? So I don't even know what all the little different letters or who they were. It wasn't even OAN. It was somebody else. But this is the mentality of your typical Michigan Trump supporter who would show up. And I'm just like myself, you know, the guy lost an election, was impeached twice. Go down the list of why this guy is a POS, and you're going to go out there and brave the weather to support this man for what reason? What exactly drives you to want to go see Donald Trump in Michigan live for a 90 or 100 minute rant about what? How Meyer pronounces his name? It's continuing to spiral to just craziness. I thought it was bad a month ago. It's getting even worse now.
Did you see the congresswoman from Michigan that claimed, and I forget her name, but claimed that, you know, we got Osama bin Laden under Trump?
I mean, they don't even care. They're just going to get up there and say whatever they want because there's no consequence to it. You know, I invented the question mark. Hey, you know, there's no consequence to it. The people there are just clapping. I mean, whether they know it or not, they want to be told the big lie. They love it when you lie to them. They're like a Rihanna Eminem song.
844-967-2789. Could you sing some of that song for us?
I will not.
Just so the people are familiar with which one you referenced. Dominic, did you see the Senate Judiciary Committee deadlocked on their vote for Ketanji Brown Jackson?
Yeah, she's way too radical, according to Lindsey Graham.
11-11. So they're sending it onto a divided Senate without the endorsement of the Judiciary Committee. First time that's happened since 91. Last time.
And who was it?
Clarence Thomas. Different reasons, though, I would guess. You know, there were no accusations of sexual assault against this nominee.
Yeah, yeah. But the Washington Post also reporting that a couple more Republicans are going to vote for her, so she'll pass. She'll get in.
Well, I had moved beyond wondering whether or not she would be, you know, impaneled to the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm just curious how racist these Republicans want to come off, you know, denouncing her candidacy. Because she's not unqualified. I mean, Dick Durbin, we played some sound earlier, Dick Durbin saying, you know, no one says she's not qualified.
Right.
They call her an activist or, you know, well, she must be bad because liberals like her. People like her. You know, so do some percentage of Republicans, a lot of independents, and a hell of a lot of Democrats. The American people like her like no nominee that we've had in modern history.
Yes.
And she'll be lucky to skin by 52-48.
And she'll get in, but I would, and obviously we can make judgments on the Republican Party and where that party has been and who's in that party now and how they've embraced, you know, nationalists and white supremacists to varying degrees. But I'm not convinced that if it was any other Democrat, that it wouldn't be just as challenging. This is the world we live in.
So this it doesn't matter that she's a black
woman. Exactly what,
or whether or not she's qualified or
sentencing
guidelines.
Irrelevant to the question. I mean, didn't matter for Merrick Garland. What makes you think that they'd be honest brokers in this regard? It doesn't matter. It's purely a partisan battle for them.
Because some of the nominations put up by Trump had some pretty thin resumes. I would look at Exhibit Kavanaugh and Exhibit Coney Barrett. This lady is very, very qualified. You know, checks all the boxes, not just a couple, not just on the Federalist list. So, you know, there was some question of qualifications, especially when you talk about a guy like Kavanaugh and who paid up for his national tickets and who paid off what? I don't mean to mischaracterize them as gambling debts, but he did have a hell of a lot of credit card debt that went poof. How does that work? Someone else just pays off the debt of a Supreme Court nominee, cleans up the books. Don't we, the American people, have some right to know that?
I
thought some of the activity of the Democrats at the time, you know, trying to relitigate what he did in high school. Well, even if he credibly did those things, memories are so blurred. That's so long ago. And this, you know, 16, 17 year old boy, I'm not trying to forgive him. I'm not trying to inoculate him from his actions. But there were real conflicts in this guy's resume. That's what I would have liked to have seen challenged in his Senate confirmation hearing. Not whether or not he drank too much beer in high school with Squee.
It's true.
Well, although he pre-offered that. They didn't actually ask him. He just said, I like beer. I love beer. Sometimes I drank too many beers. No one said that about KBJ.
No, and nor did she offer it, thankfully. And I guess ultimately, though, Crudy, it comes down to the partisan nature of where we are right now. There is no way that those Republicans, I just don't see it. I just don't see it happening. Regardless of who the Biden nominee would have been, that Lindsey Graham is going to go for it. I unless it was a straight up Republican, which of course was not going to happen. That's just where we're at. Period.
But, you know, she is a black woman. It's not like this is Merrick Garland. It's not like they voted 52-48 and all the Republicans minus Romney and maybe Susan Collins, you know, voted against the white dude. They're voting against a black woman. They're voting against a historic nominee. Sota Sotomayor did not face this sort of opposition. She got about, 60-something votes. You know, it shouldn't be like this. Unless, you know, your nomination somehow strains the fabric of America. Looking at you, Kavanaugh. But they're all going to vote against her because, you know, these shameful activities of trying to hold Kavanaugh accountable for his youthful indiscretions instead of his adult conflicts. That's what we should have gone after him for, his personal, professional conflicts. Who paid off your debt? And would that fairy like to pay off my debt?
I got a little debt they can pay off if they want.
Come back with us. Devil's Advocate's phone lines, they're open. And what'd you have to do to get that debt paid off? 844-96-PARTY.